This is an I Am Listening podcast.
Now, a lot of customers are coming into the shop saying, oh, we're not going to come into Chatham anymore due to these high prices. They can go other places, i.e. Hempstead Valley, Bluewater, which is free parking. So it's affecting us massively. So obviously we would like the council to do something about this.
Welcome to the Kent Politics Podcast.
Hello, I'm Nikki White, Senior News Editor with the KM Media Group, with another look at the stories hitting the headlines in Kent's political world. One of the most interesting developments to come out of the last week is the Kent Liberal Democrats' decision to start picking candidates for the next general election, more than 3 years out. It has to be said that this is not that rare, but clearly this is part of a campaign strategy by the Lib Dems and is thought to be driven by Mike Martin, the Lib Dems' only MP in Kent over in Tunbridge Wells. Mr Martin's campaign manager Tara Matthews has just been selected to fight Sevenoaks. The pollsters have this Conservative true blue seat as a Reform UK gain from MP Laura Trott. But it was the Lib Dem Richard Stretfield, who is a county councillor, who helped reduce the majority from 20,000 plus to just over 5,000 2 years ago. The party regards this as the 14th most winnable in a list of 28, where the Lib Dems came second to the Tories in 2024. Next, they are choosing Maidstone and Malling, where Tory Helen Grant is holding on by the skin of her teeth. The Lib Dems have long fancied this seat, even when the constituency contained the Weald, and came close once. Now the patch takes in Malling, which is Lib Dem friendly. Pollsters say Reform will take it, but the Lib Dems are working on a theory that if they can get a candidate in early, dictate the narrative, and hope the right of centre bloc splits, it's possible, although probably unlikely. On top of that, they're also looking to field a candidate against Tom Tugendhat in Tunbridge, which has a Tory majority of over 11,000. The party now has one MP, runs Tunbridge Wells Council and is the official opposition at Kent County Council, and they feel the West Kent influence is creeping east and can see gains if they plan wisely. Mr Stretfield says, the whole of West Kent is in play now because of Tunbridge Wells, where we have the MP and have a borough and county councillors. There is no one better place to run a campaign in a place like Sevenoaks than Tara. They want all the target seat candidates in situ before the expected elections to the newly formed unitary authorities in Kent, which will replace the current two-tier system. The Lib Dems feel that they can do well, and that Reform UK and the other parties, apart from the Greens, may struggle. Former County Councillor Chris Passmore said, "We have a toehold in Tunbridge Wells and we can see it as getting stronger in West Kent, so it makes sense to start seeking candidates now." And he said, given the volatility of British politics, those prospective parliamentary candidates may be needed even before the general election in 2029. In Medway, traders in Chatham High Street have said a rise in parking charges at council-run car parks has led to an immediate downturn in the amount of business they're getting, and they want the council to reconsider. Kent Online spoke with a number of business owners who said the price increase, which came in on May the 1st, was encouraging their customers to go elsewhere, such as out-of-town shopping centres where parking is free. The prices went up from £2.40 for up to 1 hour to £2.90, and from £2.90 for up to 2 hours to £3.50. Business owners such as Babs Lander say they've seen an immediate impact.
You know, a lot of customers are coming into the shop saying, oh, we're not going to come into Chatham anymore due to these high prices. They can go other places, i.e. Hempstead Valley, Bluewater, which is free parking. So it's affecting us massively. So obviously we would like the council to do something about this.
And it's not the only sort of council-based issue that has been affecting the high street. What else has been...
There's many no-entry signs. We can't get deliveries. The other day I went to the gate to get in and the gate was not open. So obviously I couldn't make my own deliveries. So yeah, it's a massive impact.
You obviously want the council to sort of change this and, you know, talk to businesses more about sort of how these product changes are affecting you. What has their response been, or how have you been trying to...
We have tried to liaise with them, but it's been quite difficult, you know, trying to get actually get them to sit down to talk to us.
Mm. Yeah. Do you think they understand the impact?
No, I don't think they do. Obviously, you know, obviously we shopkeepers, we know how it affects our life. Obviously, the war going on, there's several things affecting business as well, on top of these parking charges and so on.
Fezvula Golson, who runs a barbers in the high street, says even though he's reduced his prices, the additional cost of parking is still forcing customers to go elsewhere.
It's not only just my business, and be honest with you, all in Chatham High Street is now getting worse and worse. Mm. And most of our customers not coming anymore because we reduce the price to the £10, and people say if we come for £10, we have to pay another £3.54 for the car park, which is the reason they don't come anymore.
Yeah, yeah. And the increase came on the 1st of May, the most recent change. Did you see like a real, like overnight, people stopped coming?
It's affected lots.
Yeah. And did the council talk to you about, you know, before they did this about?
No. They didn't talk. If they try to make like a meeting with any shop owners or with people, we will be happy to go there and tell them our problems, but no one came, no one asked.
And obviously running a business anyway at the moment, it's quite difficult because, you know, prices are going up all, you know, across everything. So
energy prices and rent and business rates and more.
Yeah. So is it a really tough time for you at the moment?
It's very tough.
Yeah.
And if it's go like this, I don't think so any small business going to survive. Mm. In a few years' time, every single one's going to shut.
Yes.
Yeah. Even myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't afford it.
When the changes came in, there was also a decrease in the price of parking for 30 minutes, a reduction from £1.90 to just £1. The council said it did this so that people could just pop into the high street for bits and bobs. But traders say this just isn't enough to keep people coming back, that they're bearing the brunt of it all and they want the council to reconsider. A council spokesperson said the authority had taken careful consideration when deciding to increase the charges and had introduced the reduction for 30 minutes in response to concerns from businesses. It said it was still looking at the impact of the changes, which would be assessed before next year's budget. The financial woes of East Kent Hospitals Trust are quite well known, but with the pressure from the government to cut costs, it's been revealed that the Trust has found a novel way to save money. An email to staff seen by us said that the Trust was launching something called a mutually agreed resignation scheme. It means employees can put themselves forward to see if their role can be deleted from the workforce in exchange for a one-off payment proportional to the amount of time they've served in the NHS. The Trust stresses this is not the same thing as redundancy. Both the Trust and the individual employee have to agree, and no role which is essential for the delivery of clinical services would be approved for a removal. Nonetheless, the Trust told us that they need to save money, and staffing is 65% of their annual spend at £750 million a year. Campaigners from the organisation Concern for Healthcare in East Kent have said they agree with the general sentiment, but expressed concern that this way of going about things may not achieve the stated aim. David Short, who founded that campaign, said there is plenty of dead wood in NHS middle management, which could be got rid of, but said that the Trust, which runs several hospitals, needs a much more radical restructure to improve, as it's somehow significantly overspent but always understaffed in key clinical areas. The NHS Trusts in Medway and Dartford and Gravesham have also undertaken similar schemes in the recent past, and Maidstone and Tunbridge Wells Trust did not say whether they are doing the same.
Is there a topic that you would like to be discussed on the Kent Politics Podcast? Perhaps you've got a question for one of our panel, or you'd like to comment on a hot topic in local or national government. Get in touch by emailing or sending a voice note to kentpoliticspodcast@thekmgroup.co.uk.
The MP for Folkestone and Hythe is calling for better support and action to stop ex-offenders committing more crimes. Tony Vaughan says the re-offending rate is twice as high if people are unemployed compared to those who have a job. He says employment is the key to helping people leave crime behind, and he recently met with an organisation called Reach Out and Recover Kent to hear about their vital work helping people, including ex-offenders, beat addiction. Speaking in Parliament this week, he pressed the Secretary of State on what's happening to ensure more ex-offenders in our community are getting the support they need, when they need it, to find work and stay on the right path. Here he is.
Reach Out and Recover Kent are a brilliant organisation I met in Folkestone over the weekend who help people, including ex-offenders, recover and stay away from addiction so they can gain skills and work to reintegrate into society. But Ministry of Justice figures show that at the six-month post-release point, the reoffending rate for adults is twice as high if they are unemployed compared to those in employment. So, Mr. Speaker, what is the government doing to ensure that more ex-offenders in my constituency get tailored and timely support, particularly around the issue of addiction, to get them back into work and to leave offending behind them once and for all?
Well, my humble friend is right to raise these issues and the good work that's happening in his constituency. As he knows, Lord Timpson is leading work about what happens when inmates are in custody. That means working with health services to ensure that our prisoners are getting the support they need, and also with the private sector employers to ensure that there are opportunities afterwards. And I will ask Lord Simpson to write to him with specifics about what is happening in his area.
It's expected to be sunny this bank holiday weekend, which is good news in some ways, but it also means the return of Operation Brock. Yes, everybody's favourite contraflow system is back, and all that means with traffic restrictions and diversions. The 13-mile coastbound section of the M20 between junctions 8 at Leeds Castle and 9 for Ashford now has a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit and dedicated lanes for HGVs aiming to cross the English Channel to Kew if needed. It'll be gone by next Wednesday, but until then, brace yourselves and avoid the area if you can. We've seen it all before, as have Kent's MPs, who are battling for a better deal for their constituents. Faversham and Mid-Kent's Helen Whateley has an ongoing petition calling for a better solution to something that jams up our roads when traffic grinds to a halt, sees lorries cut through villages and families facing delays getting to work. She says where Brock was meant to be only for emergencies is now a regular headache. Ashford MP Sojan Joseph this week wrote to the Transport Secretary Heidi Alexander asking what alternative solutions are being explored, especially given the huge costs racked up every time the thing is put in. A recent Freedom of Information request revealed that each deployment cost £226,000, with an additional £35,000 for every 24 hours it's in place. The Kent and Medway Resilience Forum says the barrier is necessary because of the anticipated high numbers of tourists passing through the county for a half-term getaway. Here's Toby Howe from the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum.
This weekend, we're really expecting it to be busy at both Dover and Eurotunnel. It's the first weekend that we will see 100% checks or registrations carried out for the new entry-exit system into the EU. So what this means is it adds a bit of extra time to each car, each passenger going through to cross the channel. Added to which, it is going to be very busy with tourists anyway. So if you put those two together, what we're expecting is to see queuing traffic outside Port of Dover, in the town of Dover on the A20 and the A2, and also approaching Eurotunnel. It's likely to see, or likely to be seen, what we saw at Easter on Good Friday, where we had traffic backing out of Eurotunnel onto the M20. So we have traffic management plans in place. We have additional resource from both National Highways and Kent Police to be available to deal with any congestion that we're expecting to see. But I do reiterate, we are expecting a very busy weekend, Friday and Saturday. It is really frustrating for all in Kent that we still have to rely on Operation Brock. The trouble is, it is all that the Kent and Medway Resilience Forum do have available to control that freight flow down to Eurotunnel and the Port of Dover. If we did not have Brock, as I've mentioned earlier, we're going to have really busy tourist traffic. If we didn't have Brock, we would then have hundreds of HGVs also joining those queues down to Dover, which ends up causing blockage at Folkestone and Hawkinge. And if they're also then queuing to get into Eurotunnel, we could see real mixed traffic queuing blocking the M20 approaching Eurotunnel. So Brock is essential at the moment. I realise, yes, it is frustrated for people that have to use it and aren't impacted down in East Kent, but it is essential. It is all that we have available until the government find an alternative. We are seeing some nice weather being forecast, which is great for a bank holiday weekend. The problem, though, that we have is if we've got a lot of queuing traffic, stationary, for example, on the A2, A20 and the M20, it does add a complication there with many people stationary in cars in that hot weather, especially if they've got pets, if they've got young children, old people, etc. So what we do stress to people is be prepared. Be prepared for some delays and make sure that you have all your relevant needs catered for within the car. If you need medicines, if you need water, stuff for babies, etc., please make sure you are well prepared so that if you are sitting in queues during this hot weather, you have got good resilience. We will do our best to keep those queues moving. Eurotunnel and Port of Dover will do their best. However, as I've mentioned previously, owing to the amount of traffic, there are likely to be delays.
And that's it from us at the Kent Politics Podcast for another week. You can keep up to date with the latest politic news on our dedicated webpage at Kent Online. And you can also sign up for our politics briefing newsletter at kentonline.co.uk/newsletters, which drops every week with a roundup of news, views and a few quiz questions too. And don't forget to tune in to KMTV's politics show every Friday at 5 p.m. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening to the Kent Politics Podcast. Don't forget to check out stories throughout the week on the politics page of Kent Online. And you can watch the Kent Politics Show on KMTV every Friday at 5 p.m. or on demand at kmtv.co.uk.
This has been an I Am Listening podcast. For more information, head over to our website, im-listening.co.uk.